Hello and welcome to the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. A long time no see. Glad to be back for another season. And to start off, to say thank you for your patience. I think anyone who's produced a podcast will know that they are a lot of fun. They do take up a bit of time, though. And to be honest, the delay in seasons has simply been down to a combination of ensuring that my clients come first, ensuring my health comes first, traveling overseas, and a bit of my own health issues there, which nothing too serious, thankfully. However, having said all that, we are back for a second season. And I have to start off with an apology, not to you guys, seemingly, but to my first guest, Mr. Derek Chapman, because I recorded this interview back at the start of the year, just prior to Derek's book being released. And it's taken all this time to get this out there. So, Derek, you are an absolute legend. I'm so grateful for your time, and I'm so glad that this long overdue podcast finally gets to be shared with the world, where Derek talks about his new book, which focuses on working with anxiety, and it's filled with lots of great tips, techniques, things that you can use straight away. So in this interview, even though he's talking about it being upcoming, it is available now for you to purchase. Links will be around this video, and I do highly recommend it, having read it myself. But I'll stop talking for now, and I'll jump to an interview that was from a few months back. Sorry, Derek. Let's welcome Derek Chapman to The Confident Hypnotherapist. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. I know it's been a little while since we last popped up in your podcast feeds, but we're back for another season. And to start off with, I have one of our favorites from the last season here to chat a little more. Mr. Derek Chapman, how are you doing today?
Hi, Lawrence. Doing very well, thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you. Well, one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you was because of the fact that you're about to become a published author in the very near future with your book, Turn Sabotage into Success in Just 7 Easy Steps, which I believe is due out around March.
That's correct, yeah.
So
do you want me to find a way?
What's that?
You want to go for it or you want to ask the question?
Oh, well, I was going to ask you, can you tell me what prompted you to write this book?
I think it's an amalgamation of, like, it's 10 years I've actually been doing, being a hypnotherapist. And in that time, I've had lots of experiences. And I'm sharing you some of the best ones, not all the best ones, but some of the best transformations and the processes that we use to get person from A to B. Mm-hmm. And all those nuggets that people will find interesting. I think if you're a client, if you're a hypnotherapist, or if you want to work on yourself, there's lots of techniques there and a resource page that goes to a website so you can actually experience it for yourself, in a nutshell.
Well, that's the thing. You know, one of the things I really hope to do with this podcast, as I was saying to you before we hit record, was, you know, if someone who is a hypnotherapist is listening to this podcast and thinking, you know, is anxiety the road I should be going down in terms of a niche? Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for them as a starting point here?
Well, when you start off, you think you can cure everything, don't you? Or I hate the word cure, actually.
Cure is a dangerous one, isn't it? You always do quotes around cure.
I don't even like the word treat. So I just say I'm like the guide, and you know, when you get that frame right, I can guide you where you want to go. And people don't know what they want to, you know, the biggest question is, what is you want? I don't know. I don't want this horrible anxiety feeling that people will tell you. And to give you how I work with clients with anxiety, let's say this girl came to see me last Friday, and she'd been wanted to come and see me for 4 years, but she was too frightened. So when you're anxious, you can almost like, oh God, what's going to happen here? I may be turned. You know, I might reveal all my secrets, and in other words, I might lose control. The fear of the unknown. There's two things human beings have: what's going to happen, and am I going to die or whatever? And it's really the mind doing it. So you've got to show them how to do it. I mean, I experienced it myself. So if you're a hypnotherapist and you want to deal with somebody who's anxious, I would say the best advice is get into the mindset of that person. like she arrived at the door and she said, "Oh, I can't believe I'm so anxious." And I said, "Well, I'm Derek." And she, you know what I mean? Just little tweaks like that. Yeah. You know, I'm not anxious. And she sat down, she said, and I said, are you asthmatic? She goes, "No, I'm just a fat bird who smokes." And I thought, well, she's derogatory to herself there.
There's a bit of humor there. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we get on great. And so I said, do you know, shall I show you how to relax? So she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, without having to do all this stuff like that." So I asked her to stand up. I don't know if I mentioned on a podcast before. So I get them to pull my arm there and there. Yeah. As you pull it away, "Now keep your anxiety up." And I'll say to them, you know, "I don't get anxious. I used to get anxious, but now it's just too stressful for me." And they sort of giggle. Yeah. And then as they're pulling my arm away, I relax my arm. As I'm relaxing my arm, "See, I've got controlling you." That's weird. Yeah. And now do the same to me. Da, da, da. And I said, "What's the first thing you do when you get anxious?" "Oh, I tense my body." "Yeah." And I said, "Imagine this now. I'll do what you do. Your body's like an ironing board like this. You do some crappy breathing. And then you imagine the worst case scenario." I said, "It freaked me out." Mm. "But recognize everything you say to yourself will have an implication in your mind." Mm. And I said, "What's that thing? If I say to you, 'Don't think of a blue tree,' what do you think of?" "Look, there's my blue tree logo." And she'll sort of give me that funny look. And a green one, they'll say. I said, "Well, you had to change it from a blue one to a green one really quickly." So if I say to you, "Have you ever said to yourself, 'I don't want to get anxious, don't want to panic'?" And you can see the little light bells going on. And she said, "Yeah, but I have such a terrible, terrible story and stuff like that. And my life has been, I can't do this and I can't do that." I said, "You see this pen? Every time you talk about the story, I'll just tap on the table. It means politely, don't talk about the story because your brain doesn't know it's real or imagined." Mm. And she got it. I said, "What would you like to have happen then for the rest of your life?" "Oh, I'd like to..." And they'll tell you the negative story about that stuff. And, you know, they go into it again. And then I say, "I'll just tap on the table." I got that from James Tripp. It's a polite way of saying, "Shut up."
Yeah, I really like it. And I'll come back to that. It reminds me of something too.
Yeah. So then I show them the anxiety wheel, which is like how they're doing anxiety, you know, negative thoughts, creates feelings in the body. And then we create a belief that, "Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that." And that's like getting rapport with people. So I don't do any matching or mirroring and stuff like that. I think it's quite fake. I like to be authentic. I probably do it actually without realizing. But I mean, so, but they go through this little circle, yeah, and they go, "Oh, yeah, it's me." And I just know they're going, "Hmm." I can see the head as I'm watching this, the little head in the corner. They go, "Yeah, that's me. This guy got me," you know. But I'm not nothing any cleverer than anybody else. It's just like I can get into their mindset because I know what it's like to feel anxious. I used to be anxious myself, so I know exactly what it feels like. So it's coming from an authentic place. You know, I used to go to a room of people. I thought, "Oh my God, they're all better than me," you know, and I used to run and hide. That's how I became a hypnotherapist. So, like I said, your question, how would you deal with anxious people, decide to deal with them, is like, well, if you've seen a few people, you'll get the same sort of people present all the time. And after a while, it's almost like a factory. There we go. But although we say humans are quite individual, the behavior's not. Mm. It's quite repetitive, isn't it? You know, they'll say the same old stuff. And they're, "Oh, I hope this works for me." This guy did this emoji the other day, and he put this three. I hate it when people do that. So when he turned up for the session, I said, should we pray now? This is going to work for you. I said, "I don't pray." I said, "You know, I just know it'll work. Do you want to change?" He goes, "Well, yeah, my life's terrible." And I showed this on the podcast. It was like the before and after, not of him, but what he said. I shared it on a recent podcast, but it's quite handy to hear. So what I do is I show my clients, yeah. I mean, he saw another video of somebody else who I'd seen, yeah. This girl had anxiety off the scale. And I said to her, just out of curiosity, because, you know, you've changed. Like, I can just see you've changed. You know, you know, you don't have to be Einstein. She's quite calm now. And she sat in the chair and she goes, she's quite talkative and stuff. And I said, would you mind doing a video for me? And she said, yeah, sure, because you've got one session to go. I want to show you how you now look. And she did this video. And she was so eloquent. And her mother used to wait in the porch. And she was so anxious, you know what I mean, that frame. And I said, do you remember before when you came to see me about 3 weeks ago? And she goes, yeah, I used to be so anxious, didn't I? Yeah. And she sort of giggled because she knows she's changed. Oh, that's me watch. That's Siri, whenever you need it. That bloody app. And it's like, it's anxiety. When it's there, you don't want it. And I'll use that, you know what I mean? And lost my train of thought, and it'll come back to me. In a nutshell, I show that video to somebody else now because she said, how would you describe what you've experienced? Because I want to know. She goes, well, it's not just changing how you feel, it's changing how you It's changing how you think, and that changes how you feel. I thought it's quite clever, that, really. She sort of summed it up, because I don't know what I do. I've got a rough idea, but it's their interpretation. So I showed that video to people who are very, let's say, anxious or not very confident, because the two go really hand in hand. So if you're seeing clients who present with lack of confidence, it's probably they're anxious as well. Mm. So that's the answer to your question. It's like a marriage made in heaven or hell. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't like themselves and think they're not good enough, and they'll tell themselves they're shit and they'll believe it. So I showed it to this guy who was like texting. He rang me up and said, can you help me with so-and-so? I said, yeah, okay. I thought it must be a sexual thing, but it wasn't, because he was so sort of, you know. And he booked in for a consultation. He said, now the session, he's really anxious about the session. And I said, okay. He said, what will happen? Will you put me under? I said, put you under where? I said, I don't want to be under anything, really. You mean you want to be out of control? Mm. Not really. I said, how's life at the minute? Do you have much control over your life? He goes, no, not at all. I said, well, why would you going to be put under so someone else can control you? I don't do that frame. It's really nuts. I can if you want. You know, I've done all the stage hypnosis stuff and zap them out. And some clients actually do. Just say one word and they're out cold. But I don't show my clients that they run for the hills, you know, because the two things they're frightened about is, you know, change and the unknown. And that's the unknown. So I'll show you. I showed him. He said, I said, well, how do you know you've changed? Big, great question. Not me knowing that you're 10 out of 20, because next week you might change when you left this room, you might go down. Mm-hmm. So how will you know you've changed? He said, well, if I can do a video like her, then I know I've changed. So Mr. who wasn't very confident, did a video. I'll show you the before and after. Well, I won't show you. You can listen to him. Okay. Before. Can you hear that?
Feel like nothing's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just seemed dark all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel motivated to do anything. Just feel shit, really.
Okay. Technical term. And then...
So okay, this is after the first session. How do you feel now?
Feel a lot lighter in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like I can deal with my thoughts a lot more.
About the anxiety?
Yeah, I think it's cleared quite a lot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So is it there?
No.
Oh. What happened to that then?
Gone.
Oh, how's it made you feel?
Happier.
Just wondered. Okay, cheers.
I don't do a one session miracle, but you can listen to his voice. Like somebody said to me last night, he sounds like one of those grunge singers, and afterwards he sounds like he's free. Do you know what I mean? Because he did.
You definitely hear the shift in his voice there. Yeah. There's definitely a lightness there. Yeah.
But in my opinion, he still needs the confidence thing. What will work well with him is parts. But he said to me, can you knock me out next time? I said, why? Is the deeper you go, the better you can feel? I don't know. People got this presumption that if they go really deep in some hypnotic, profound state, they'll find Nirvana or something.
Yeah, it's interesting, that, isn't it? I often say to people that the depth of trance is not necessary or relevant or...
No, it's not.
Like that. You know, that's a myth in many ways, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been quite deep myself, and what have I learned from it? I've detached myself out of reality and gone to another reality, and it feels great for the time, but did it change my life? I don't know. We'll see. but do you know?
Do I know?
No, I mean, it was a general. Does anyone actually know?
If you know, comment in the section below.
No, please
share with us if you know.
Yeah.
I'm no doubt you've seen many, many, many people for this topic over the years. You mentioned that before. Mm. And this question, I think, comes from my own personal experience in working with people that may come in for anxiety issues.
Mm.
Have you ever had anyone who's come in for you or come in to see you for anxiety, but who seems so attached to the anxiety that it forms part of their identity in a way that they're perhaps not willing to let it go? So I'll give an example here of someone who came to see me with anxiety. However, they also feared that anxiety, well, not feared, they said that anxiety kept them motivated to do their best work. So while they were still suffering from the anxiety, they didn't want it to go because the anxiety was, in their belief system, it was creating their best work. Now, I'm curious, because I, for me, I personally pointed out to this guy we need to challenge that internal belief system.
Yeah.
How would you address an issue like that?
I think it's the person's choice, really, because I've seen a lot of hypnotherapists, even like the top ones out there. And I've worked with them on certain issues. And strangely, I've found that those people want to have a bit of that anxiety. They love it because it keeps them motivated.
Mm.
There's the other person who identifies with the anxiety as, well, I can't let go of that thing. It's a different ball game. They can be quite tricky to, but they need to change. So any change, the change of identity, that's where we're heading.
Yeah.
That changes. The girl that came in yesterday, she goes, I hate it when they say my anxiety. I said, take the coat off, love, you know, and take the anxiety off. Imagine imagine the anxiety over there when you put that coat.
If I get a tip, I say to them, I know she keep calling it my anxiety like you own it. How about you just call it the anxiety as something
that's
just, you know, there?
I'm very abrupt. And people do like it. I just tell it like it is. And my partner's going, God, how can you tell it's that person? That's what I just do. You know what I mean?
They're not paying you to be their friend. They're paying you.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But do you know why? You know why? Because he's a pleaser. I'm not a pleaser at all.
Mm.
So, but I like to be, I'm a stickler. I do my assessment. That's why part of the book, there's an assessment there. So you can analyze in a healthy way.
Yep.
Where you are and how you are now. Like the girl who I referenced to earlier, her score was, what was it? I think she scored 10 on the Richter scale. The average of a sort of healthy lifestyle is about 75. When I noticed she's changed and she had the worst saboteurs ever, there was like a hypervigilant and the victim, they start pulling teeth. No, that didn't work. No, that doesn't work. You know, those sort of people. And they take no responsibility. They blame everybody else for your or their failure, you know? Anyway, so I sort of run for the hills when I get a victim. But having said that, my mind's been shifted now since that girl, because she had the worst ones, And I said, just out of curiosity, can you do that assessment again? And it turned out it was 86. Now, the meme is 75, which is really great. Hers went to 86. Her saboteurs changed too. So my belief in that sort of quick sort of test, litmus test I now offer my clients, that really works.
Hmm.
And it's like another way of seeing them, how they're doing their behavior. And I just had a guy now, that was that text message you just heard in but I'll give you a sort of, because last night's client was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sent me a text just starting the phone. But it'll give you an indication how I work with people. It makes it easier because they can see, if the client can see how they're doing their issue, well, your job can be a bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they get it, like when I say to a person, if someone's watching a video of someone getting over phobia, well, subconsciously they're programmed to actually change. So I show a lot of my clients, oh, that's that woman there. She had like the guy last night. I showed him all the videos of people who changed. And he said he's recommended by his friend who got off cocaine and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, but now it's you, isn't it? Because if I was you, I'd hear all these reviews. Yeah, he's great, this guy. And now you're sat in that chair and you think, oh, God, will it work for me? And even then I'm getting rapport because I know what they'd be thinking, because I'd think exactly the same. So if I can find that thing, it's on. Found it. Okay. And one thing I find with people, if they're... hyper rational. That's good. At least this guy's not a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hyper achievers, avoider. You get a lot of if they're avoider and restless, that usually alcoholics will do that, or some sort of drug use. They're avoiding changing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So pleaser, he'll please everybody else apart from the simple things. So if someone gets a there's things there. If someone gets the pleaser, they'll please everybody. It's like that sort of, I liken it to, you give way to the traffic. Thanks, mate. And they don't even thank you. And you go, oh, God, that bastard. Do you know what I mean? Because they never thank me. And we take it personal. So don't be a pleaser, because we'll hold a grudge.
Hmm.
The other one is a hyperachiever. He wants to do everything and he wants to do it, well. And hyper-rational. That's interesting, because usually if you've got a tough case, it's almost like the hyper-rational. It's okay to be rational, but when you're hyper-rational, it's not so good. Any of the hypers aren't very good, So if you're hyper-rational, not very good. So I put them at the bottom. But some people, they can be like a victim, and they're hyper-rational. Any sort of, if you take out the word hyper-rational, they're very low. They'll walk over, they can walk over a road without looking left or right. There needs to be some sort of rationale. And hyper-vigilant is there as well. I thought so. See, hyper-vigilant is about 8.
So you don't want that. Is this a particular test that you get your clients to do prior to coming in, or what is it that What is it that we're looking at here?
So it tells you exactly, it's like a blueprint of where they are at the moment in life. In his life, yeah, he's got, it's a score as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the score is 48%. So he's sabotaging himself 52% of the time with stress, anxiety, frustration, anger, disappointment, shame, and guilt. Jeez. And I guarantee he's probably running, oh, no wonder I feel bad. You know, yeah. And empathy, gratitude, curiosity, joyful, creativity, and calm for 48% of the time. Now these aren't static, and I sort of, you know, I use them just as a something to hang from point.
Yeah,
starting point. I don't take them sort of literal because people can. I could spend thousands of pounds on course. I went into this in a deep. You can spend $1,000 on this, but no, that's. I don't think it's worth doing that. But I mean, because I went down that route, but that's one of the best things you can get from it. It doesn't cost anything. So that's in the book as a little link.
Well, there you go. That alone is now worth getting the book, isn't it? To find that
it is. Because you can see
the expertise you can, comes with it.
It works for everybody. It works for everybody. Like you can see those people. You know those people who go on. If you're out there and you're a hypno junkie,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you'll have the hyperachiever in there.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting out, then go. Oh, I should do a Facebook Live, and I should do this and stuff like that. The avoider's probably in there as well. It's just so logical, and it's so. And when we get it, we can break. They're not static like thoughts, like you said before. They're not facts. You know, even beliefs aren't facts. You can change them. Like Gil did. It you know, hers.
Yeah, sorry.
No, like the girl who hers one was 10, as opposed to his 48. You know, and she was more confident than he was yesterday. So I'm saying, well, she had 10, and on the third session it was 86, which is more than most people around. She's been in counselling. She's a component. What's on the door? Somebody. God, the mailman. She was hypervigilant. No, I'm not. She was in counselling for years and stopped going. And she's off the meds as well. So, I mean, you can have a massive shift in people's lives, though. And she said, well, I've got the evidence here. You know, I have changed. Like I say to clients, I'll give them some little tools to do, like, even, you know, the ball technique, yeah? And I said, whatever you do, don't make it an OCD ritual. Just do it, like, once a day, bring the fear back and take it away. You're getting back control. Mm-hmm. But some people listen to this, take you seriously, literally, and they go, oh, I did that ball technique. It was great. I'm in the car now doing it. I thought, don't do that, please. You might have an accident. You know? Bilateral stimulation, that one.
Yeah. With the clients you do, obviously everyone's different. You mentioned before even that, you know, everyone's unique, but there are similarities that you see coming.
Yeah.
Do you tend to run your first session in the same way each time, or do you find that you have to do a variation depending upon those results that you see?
Well, the results I see, I don't want to be influenced by the results.
Mm.
So what I do is I see them. I saw this guy last night. He booked him for his four sessions. I showed him all the videos of people who changed. He'd been recommended and all that sort of jazz. And even one technique I use them, in one technique I show a client, yeah, I can see whether auditory, visual, kinesthetic, la-di-da, all the rest, V-A-K, yeah, in that one technique. So that I know where I'm going. It's conversational. It doesn't have to be, can you imagine this when you were a kid in the bedroom, that sort of palaver? No, just like, you know, one simple thing. And which is also in the book. Not I'm here to push the book, but I'm just saying.
No, push the book. Like, I mean, it's if it's discussing the topic here.
It's in the book. So everything I used with the client yesterday, yeah, is in that book.
Yeah.
So it's like it's called Seven Steps to. What's it called? Seven Steps to Success, really, in other words, to get rid of your sabotage.
So success in just seven easy steps.
But these are the seven easy steps. There's seven easy steps and how they change. But the seven easy steps you can use for yourself, you can use for your family members, but most important, you can use for your clients.
Yeah.
And it's such a great way of dealing with people that you know. So in other words, I don't get past go unless they've done one of these things. And I'm happy for that, you know. I just don't, because no one wants to fail, do they? The biggest failure, we don't want to fail as human beings. It's like a biggest crime ever. Look stupid and look embarrassed. So, and no one likes, I don't like it myself. So I won't go past that go until they, or even see them until they've gone through a couple of hurdles.
Mm.
And the hurdle is, first of all, they book a consultation. You know, it's £75. They go, oh, God, everyone's cheap around here. Oh, hack me. You know what I mean? So they've gone for hurdle number one. Then they filled out a form on that thing, Ajig, and they know exactly how much they're going to pay down the line. So it's not hidden. It is to a certain degree. I don't think anyone will actually, they'll just ring up. Like some guy rang up yesterday. I'm thinking of coming to see you. I thought, well, there you go, thinking, right? Nail biting, yeah. And he didn't book in. I just knew he wouldn't. You know, he didn't go through the protocol. And I sent him the thingamajig. And, you know, what was the question?
We've hit the time. I found it myself.
It was about. Do you use the process all the time? Is it similar?
Yes, it was.
It's bespoke to the person in front of me, I would say.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to draw out of them their resources, because when we're resourceful, you can do stuff. You know, like the last night was a data programmer. I've got two data programmers at the moment. It's funny how the universe gives you those people, like you said, before the top of the hour. It's funny how you have the same sort of people. And I'm down, and I could have thought with my oh my God, he's analytical client. Big deal, doesn't matter. That's just a belief, you know what I mean? And I can tell you last night, he's a great hypnotic subject.
Yeah, it's weird how sometimes the ones that you think might be a challenge are actually really fantastic. And they're going to be really good and sometimes be a challenge.
Yeah, and we create the belief that they're not.
Yeah. Well, that's a good observation as well. Yeah. Well, you know, I sometimes do that. Then I guess a question I'd ask you is, if I find myself in that situation where I'm holding on to that belief, what advice would you give me there to help let go of that belief in the moment so I can bring it back to focusing on the client?
Well, question the belief. Is it true?
Yeah.
Can you honestly know that belief is true, that there's nothing in the world that can shift this person? And notice what comes up for you, you know? Like the three questions, they call it, I forgot my name, is Byron Katie, yeah. Is it true? Can I just know it's true? And where would I be without that stupid thought or feeling? Well, I'm probably working with them in a great way. I could get, if I get out of my way, I can work with that person. But I have said that I have got rid of a client a few times because I didn't think I could work with them.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, actually, has there ever been a client that you felt was just...
added to the issue?
Yeah. And you know, even as I ask that question, I'm aware, of course, the answer is, well, yes, there would be, because some people are just not ready to change, no matter how much help can be provided. But, you know, do you remember perhaps one of your more interesting, challenging clients who come to see you to help with anxiety, but just seemed ill-prepared and not ready to let that go?
Yeah, definitely. And not recognizing that she'd changed. Oh, there's a she now. That's like a... So, I had somebody who contacted me. And first of all, I just... The red alert is, you can just tell in a text message, I've seen somebody else, but I've been highly recommended because you're very professional. And I thought, oh God, here we are, got a stickler, you know, wants everything precise. I'm professional. Well, okay, I provide a professional service, you know, but I don't really see myself as this professional geeky sort of person, you know, or, you know what I mean? So I work for my lounge. This is my lounge, because if I thought I get an office, it would be just too serious, and the pressure would be too much. You know, I'd be so professional. I'm quite laid back. That's the thing, and I'm authentic. And I think if I did it anywhere else, I wouldn't get the same result. That's a belief. Mm. It's the wrong belief, really, because I see people around the world. If someone's in distress, I'll help them out. But I got this mindset that, think, if I have an office, then I got to sort of perform like a chimp or something. You know. Anyway, she booked in to see me. And I don't know, when that's one thing I do mention, which is the best advice given somewhere. It's like when you have so many successes, you can sometimes lead yourself into a false security that you cannot fail. And I don't want failure. Seriously, no one wants failure, do they? Yeah. But you know when you're pulling at, you know, pulling at teeth and not coming out, or some other metaphor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're banging your head against a brick wall. Nothing's landing. But the one thing, but I did get a lot out of that client, because even the let's say those tricky clients, yeah, they say it's not the tricky client, it's the bad practitioner. Yeah, well, I'd love you to work with her. Do you know what I mean? Seriously, those people who say that.
Quotes Richard Bandler and the whole no such thing as inflexible clients, only inflexible practitioners, or something on those lines.
This person had so much of a payoff to be where she was.
Hmm.
There was so much benefit to staying how she was. She was quite pleased about it. And she was pleased about, oh, I'm seeing a hypnotherapist for this. Mm. It was almost like, yeah, let's see if they see if they work with me. And I thought, I don't want to play this game. It's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I saw her for two sessions. I don't think I can go any further. Mm. And she said, well, that's not very professional. You know?
It's debatable. and subjective in itself.
I gave her the money back, and she wanted all the money back. And I thought, well, I don't want to go. You can always tell if it's not going too well. You spend more time with that one person, and they require more and more time. And you know, and she had all the money back apart from the consultation. I kept that, so big deal.
I always remember you mentioned James Tripp before, and I always remember he said that you have to care less about the change, or the client has to care more about the change than you do.
Yeah,
I always thought that is wise words there, because I think we can tend to really care about wanting the best for our clients, and that can get in the way sometimes.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, after that failure in my eyes, yeah, I thought, God, I spent £2,000 on another course. And you know what I got from that course? What I ultimately gleaned was how I'm working is actually quite good. In other words, that the Russian doll technique, that basic symbol formula I show people, yeah, it's a somatic experience, and that's why it works so well. Yep. And also that the most simple things in life can be quite genius, and they are. And the subconscious mind works very simply, and it's such a simple process. And I think people diss that process, but it really works. That's what I learned. But also I learned how to disassociate a bit more. That's all using the Russian doll technique. And perhaps seeing yourself in position number two as the client, and from her perspective, because she was looking for me, the guidance, and I didn't give it to her. But then recognizing, well, from another position, that, hang on a second, he did the best he could. You know what I mean? You got all your money back, so what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Did you really want to change? And there lies the question.
Yeah. I should add, for those that are listening that haven't experienced the Russian doll technique yet or know what it is, it's a wonderful process that Derek put together. In fact, he and I went through it last Thursday night, where he very kindly helped me with a session where I was wanting to challenge some of my eating habits. And it was a really wonderful experience. And having seen the training before as well, I mean, anyone who is listening and hasn't gone and explored the Russian doll technique, absolutely jump on Derek's site and check it out, because it's just a really wonderful tool to have in your toolkit.
Thank you. Yeah, I use it a lot with clients, the Russian doll technique. It's in the book as well. Yeah, so that's why I thought, if I do an audio version, because otherwise, if you've got to read the steps, you can't really do it, can you? But if there's me sort of guiding you on in the audio version, you can sort of self-facilitate yourself and me sort of guiding you on the way.
I personally love audiobooks.
Yeah, I do.
You know, and there's certain ones in our community that I listen to regularly. I have to admit, but Freddie Jacklin's Hypnotherapy, I think I listen to that audiobook once every 6 months.
Yeah.
Largely because I like his voice, and I like the way it's a very no-nonsense approach. But I also think you're right, that it gives an opportunity for some of that work to be experienced firsthand through that audio recording. Yeah.
Then our belief goes up when we experience it ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, one of the things that I'm wanting to bring into the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast this year, I mentioned it to you earlier, is the idea of themes from the therapy room. And this is, you know, I was talking to you about it before we hit record. For me, I know that there's occasionally a series of kata that I talk about at certain points based on different philosophical therapeutic themes that seem to come up all the time for me. And I'm planning to create my own little video series on that, but I was also wondering, for some of the established therapists out there, you know, what kind of themes in the therapy room you might have as well. Do you find that there's a particular useful bit of patter that you use with your clients often that helps to explain a concept or, you know, a way of looking at something?
Yeah. I mean,
I know it's a big vague
question. I'm trying to think of the specific time, but I mean, I put those nuggets in all the time. It's
you've done several usually through this podcast already, I might add. I've noticed them already.
Thank you. But I did it with a client. Anything, I mean, even on a text message, yeah. Today, my client today, because like, oh, I forgot, he's after you at 10 o'clock. And I said, by the way, can you please, he's so precise. And I said to him last week, can you arrive about 10 minutes late today? Well, I can't do that. I said, well, break the rules, go on. And I said, it's 10:30 today. Can you arrive a bit later than that? Oh, I'll see what I can do. You know what I mean? Because it's just a belief that I could arrive on time everywhere, and he'll come with his story, and there's the person with the pen. Mm-hmm. Stop, because he'll wrap it on. One thing about your clients, yeah. Oh, don't get them to talk too much, because they'll go back in the story. And I said, how would you be without that story you're dragging around? They go, ooh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Where would you be without your life without a story you drag around? Because a lot of people drag around story, and they want to tell you in great detail. If their story is so infinitum, I guarantee they've rehearsed it and they tell it to everybody.
Yeah.
So an interesting story, yeah. There's a few nuggets there, really. This guy came to see me. I don't know if I've mentioned it on another podcast. And he said he had this problem whereby he'd been fitted with a pacemaker that goes off. Yeah. You know, he had a faulty heart, and somehow this thing just restarts his heart. And he came to see me, and he kept this long story. Well, I live in fear because, you know, they put this thing in. And they said it could go off. You know, it went off once. Yeah. And he's with his grandkids. He's quite relaxed. La, la, la. And this thing went, you know, and it freaked him out, as it would do. He went to the hospital and said, by the way, this thing's gone wrong. Can you fix it? And they said, yeah, okay. It happens one in a million or something like that. You know, you're just one of the unlucky ones or whatever. It'll be okay, don't worry. He went away playing with his kids again or watching TV, I think he was, quite relaxed. And in that state of relaxation, well, oh my God, it happened again. You know what I mean? I mean, I was putting myself in this guy's shoes. It must be a living hell. It's almost like someone walking around you with a little gun there, wondering when the bullet's going to hit, you know? So his life is hell. The worst thing, he makes it even worse because he tells everybody, you never guess what? Well, I was down there playing football, blah, blah, went to the hospital. And I said, as you're experiencing that, yeah, I'll show him the video of Joe Dispenza when you get on the neurons that fire together, wire together.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, another quick reframe for people with anxiety. I say, well, they have the best imagination in the entire world. They go, really? Yeah, because they always imagine the worst crap that's ever going to happen, and they'll feel it as if it's happening right now. So when you're telling that story about, you know, oh my God, they are going to the hospital and the things are going off from it, notice how your breath's going. Notice how your hands are, yeah, they are clammy, do you know what I mean? And so in other words, this burger brain here, as I call it, doesn't know the difference between what's real or imagined.
Yeah.
Really get that in your frame of mind. The mind does not know what's real or imagined.
It's pretty much a case that they've hypnotized themselves with the anxiety.
Yeah.
So they're not here to be hypnotized. They're here to have the hypnosis changed, in a sense.
Yeah. Well, the guy last night, he says to me, he says, oh, I don't know about this hypnosis. That's why I don't know. You know, I said to him, I told him another story. I said, do you know, this woman came to see me once, because I use a lot of timeline. I changed my timeline. I use the Russian dolls in it because I think people can grasp it rather than going backwards and forwards in this sort of way. And, so I said, yeah, this woman came to see me once about, because we use a process called timeline. And she said to me, this isn't real. I said, what do you mean? A bit like your anxiety.
Yeah.
And seriously, from that, I said, that's not real, is it? You can be in a room and you can be suffering from this condition and everybody else around there are okay, aren't they? So you're doing this and it's in your mind and it's not real. You can't, like, so I think someone said years ago, you can't put a wheelbarrow of anxiety, Adam Eason, in a room. You know what I mean? You can't, but we believe it's so real. And the reason why we believe it's so real is because we have a feeling in our body that tells us, my God, we're in danger. So I'll give them I said, we have 60,000 thoughts a day. Usually most of them aren't positive. And one time when you're watching Netflix and you're watching this movie or whatever, and these big blokes are coming, I say to these big sort of macho men, so have you ever sort of sat there and gone, you're watching this movie and a little tear comes there? And they do, everyone can relate to that. And they don't know why they're crying. I said, because it's like an emotion, you know? And as we don't know, we're thinking our thoughts or our feelings at any given time, and somehow we just cry. Mm. And they're getting it. You see how you can be sabotaged by your thoughts sometimes? You're in there and you think, oh, God, that thing's frightening me. And yet you're just having a thought. When you have a feeling, your brain now, the burger brain will believe it because I had a feeling in my body or I'm tired crying, you know?
Mm.
And all these things are joining the dots, pointing them in the right direction, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the best thing... the whole book, the premise of the book, giving away the big spoiler alert, because I like to give a lot away, really. I don't keep anything secret, is this. And I learned this a bit from somebody else, but it's always been there, really. And it's like, whatever we resist will persist. So when you consider anything we're going through in our life, and if we resist it, oh my God, I don't know that thing. Like, you know, oh, that anxious makes me anxious. Or even cigarettes, oh, I dying for a cigarette. I'm dying for. Isn't it funny how people say they're dying for a cigarette and someone's going to kill you and you're dying for one? You know, if cigarettes make me either kill you or you decide to chop. What do you choose? I'm dying for a cigarette. Who's hypnotizing you? You know, yeah. You know, any situation we have like that, if you put a bit of resistance into it, it will always equal suffering.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, a quick reframe of that one, I'm sure I mentioned on that call we did, was any situation you have in life, any experience you have in life, yeah, if you put resources to it, it will equal success.
Yeah.
Because think about it, when people do anxiety, they're not resourceful. There's no resources there. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. And their mindset's quite negative. And they think, oh, I'm like that. Yeah. ever met anybody who's anxious, who's actually positive? Well, I haven't. Their mindset's quite negative. They always see the black thing and then, oh, God, nothing. Like the guy earlier, no motivation, no joy. It's been zapped out of you by your thinking. Yeah, he's actually reduced his meds, I think, on the second session. I didn't advise him to, but he has. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's actually quite free, actually, though. Yeah. So people can change. So I'm just showing people they can change. They don't believe they can. There's a belief, you know?
Yeah. Unless they examine their beliefs and recognize which ones are holding them back, it's still just going to be held prisoner by them in many ways.
Yeah, but people are held prisoner because the ironic thing is we don't see we're being held prisoner by them because our mindset becomes that narrowed vision.
It just a bit like hypnosis. Reality. Yeah,
bit like hypnosis. That tunnel vision, you focus on one thing to the exclusion of everything else. Oh, that's what hypnosis is. So maybe you're doing it without even realizing. Oh yeah. So when I'm in my issue, and they call it my issue, my anxiety.
Yep.
You probably think the worst thing's happened. You probably think you got nothing's going to go well for you, and you know you're predicting the future. And I say to them, listen, do you realize you could become a clairvoyant, but I guarantee you probably got it wrong. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, you probably imagined that today was going to, you're going to have a panic attack in this room and do this stuff, and you're going to fall and all this sort of crap. And if you're a clairvoyant, you probably get it wrong, and you wouldn't make a very good clairvoyant, would you, in the game? Well, I've got some things right. I said, what? Two or three? You're worried about things that are worried and they come true, and you go, oh, yeah, I never looked at it about that. So your mind's just overprotecting you. And when they sort of take that frame, they can go, oh, yeah, it is. So in other words, I like to people so people to leave here so robust they don't have to see me again. It's a bad business model. But, I mean, I'm not the lucky rabbit's foot that changed their life. And I hate it when I meet people. They go, oh, you changed my life. I said, no, reframe. And they quick rewind. No, I changed my life. You just showed me how. Because I'm just like the GPS that gets you where you want to go. Because the minute they can't see any way, shape or form will get into where they want to be. And they're limited by the thought. They're prisoners by the thought, like you just said there. Mm. Isn't it funny? With a little nudge in the right direction. Oh, I think I might be able to change then, really. Well, that's opened the possibility. That door that's firmly closed gets a bit open, a bit wider. Yeah. It's quite funny how I see a lot of, you know, you say who's people that the universe provides. Well, last week, the mother, the son, the
are we going to say a Holy Ghost for a moment there? But no.
But it's like, yeah, I've seen the Mother, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus. No, it's like the whole family virtually, and the other ones are on the peripheral. I can see them looking at my Facebook thing. You know, you see these people coming to your feet, they'll be sneaking on me. You know what I mean, they could be next, but because they've changed. You know, like this guy, the son said, oh, I've got to say it. I just feel amazing. I just had to tell you. Great. You know what I mean? Tell your friends out there.
Yeah. About to say, put it on your Facebook feed and make sure you can tag the website.
That's why I get people to do it, because people, people change. And I think when people go, I can change your life and do this sort of job. Yeah, you can, really. Only if you want to, that you put that thing. These people say, I can change this. I can put a bottom. Only if you want to change, that is.
Want to change, exactly. Yeah. Do you use scaling questions when they come in to gauge where they are in their change?
So, yeah, yeah. Seeds
would be an obvious one with the anxiety, but just even in terms of identifying how prepared they are to change.
Well, yeah, the whole question is, I got a form that's on that course, the Awesome Therapist one, which you get with it. It's all the forms that I use with my clients. And it's like because my memory can go everywhere. Not that I'm sort of got dementia or anything like that, but my mind just goes in every different. I think it's great for client sessions, but then I do remember and I come back to him and think, oh, he hasn't lost his marbles. So I go back to the story in the end, you know? So it's like a closed loop. And the form is like a little tick. So I tick off everything I've used or said with them. Only the salient points. But strangely enough, I always remember the juicy bits that you need to remember. That's quite a gift, I think. I don't know. That's something I developed over the years. Like the most important thing I will remember, and I don't know how I do that. But no, it's a secret sauce, I suppose.
Don't question it. Just allow it to happen.
No, I don't question it. I go with it. So, and like with the client, I'm not really that. Before, I used to be so structured. Now I sort of work sort of organically. I hate that word, but you know what I mean? Ooh. But it's like... So
when you're confident with what you're doing and you're aware of what you're doing and where it's going and your intention, you know, it's a freedom in being able to do the session without necessarily having to over-prepare.
But also giving the client what they want or what they think they need. So it's almost like if they think you're the big Marvin the magician, they need a bit of that sort of razzm jazz, you know. If they think they're more cerebral and want something sort of educational or some of that, I give them some of that as well. How the mind works and stuff like that, and it's a prefrontal cortex of your mind. Just means the forefront of your mind. But it sounds clever, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah. Any resources afterwards in terms of when they go home? Do you send them any kind of...
I send them an audio to listen to. I said, but don't become a slave to this. I want you to do like the finger thing. I showed someone the finger thing a few years ago. But this is a free little nugget. This woman came to see me. I don't know if I'm sharing on the podcast, but she was around the corner. But it's good you can use it with your clients. And she said, I can't leave my house. Have you heard this one? No.
No.
She was stuck in a house. She'd been stuck in there for 30 years, and she lives around the corner here. And she rang me up and she goes, I can't leave my house. I said, well, I'm sort of thinking, well, victim here, as you do in a nice way, you know. And I said, what stops you leaving that house? Well, I just can't leave it. I said, well, okay, close your eyes a sec. Imagine there's a fire in your house right now. Where would you be? On the doorstep. Great, so you can leave your house. That was a quick little reframe. Oh, I see what you mean now. Yeah, but I can't walk up the street. I said, what do you mean you can't walk up the street? I said, I Googled while you were imagining this thing and you're 6 minutes away from me, literally, or I think it's 3.5. You can actually walk to my house. Yeah, but I can't do that. Okay, no problem. So shall I show you how you can do that? And she said, well, okay. So I just showed her this quick thing. I said, do you know you're worrying about coming to see me? Yeah. She said, yeah, because what may happen? Well, I might die or something. That's probably that. If you chunk it down, it's probably death or fear, you know? Like the guys last night, he had the fear of this, fear of that. What's the big fear then? It's death, isn't it? Oh, yeah. So I showed him a video. I know I'm doing a nested loop here now. I showed him a video like of this girl who got over health anxiety. And she was like a walking advert for me. She said, well, I had this thing. I tried this and all that sort of jazz. Nothing seemed to work. And when you invest in yourself, it's your own mental wealth and stuff. I said, she's a counselor. And she got over this stuff. And he's suffering for the same thing, yeah? So getting back to the other story, which I just now to close that loop, yeah? I said, if I show you a quick technique so you can come around my house, would that be beneficial? And she goes, yeah. So she sort of, you know, got excited. But don't forget, you're in charge. You know, I don't have to control people. They can change if they really want to. And if you really want to come and see me, I'll show you a quick technique so you can come and see me. And I devised it on the spot and I made it up. So I said, I knew a bit of my knowledge, but I sort of gave it a spin. So I said, what I want you to do is to squeeze your thumb, yeah? How do you feel? What's your worrying like if you squeeze your thumb? She goes, what's it like? I said, try and worry now. She goes, my mind's gone clear. I said, that's interesting, isn't it? I thought, well, it's worked. Then I said, it was interesting for me that it worked. Then the next bit was, what I want you to do, because you probably got a great imagination. And she said, yeah, I have. I imagine everything going wrong and stuff like that. I said, okay, no problem. But recognize just your imagination. But this time I want you to imagine, yeah, as you're walking to me, because I know it can be quite daunting meeting new people. I've been there myself. It's like you're frightened of this and frightened of that. What can happen and stuff like that. But recognize it's almost like a little kid who's quite frightened. It's only not you. It's a part of you that's making you do all this stuff. Sort of got it. And I said, well, imagine. So what I want you to do is squeeze your thumb. It was this one here. Thumb and index finger. And as you squeeze, that's once a panic, once a fear. And as you're squeezing that, I want you to imagine walking to my house, but I want you to imagine walking backwards to your house, to your safe comfort zone. Now, my mind was almost like that screw of mine up in a good way, because she's coming to me, see me, but she's also walking back to a safe haven. I think that might work. Then I said to her, what I want you to do is to squeeze the thumb and finger and let go of it. So in other words, every time you do it, you'll be able to make a step forward, but I'm showing you, you're in control. That's what I was doing. You're in control. And then she knocked on my door. I think it was about 10 minutes later. I timed it. And I sort of played quite nonchalant, you know. Someone's at the door, you know, and she knocks at the door. And I said, yeah, hi, how can I help you? Oh, it's me. I just spoke to you on the phone. I said, yeah, great. I said, why are you here? She goes, well, for my agoraphobia. I said, well, you haven't got my agoraphobia now. She says, what do you mean? I said, well, you're out of your house. I don't need to see you. It's free. You're cured, whatever that is. And she goes, yeah, but how do I get home? I said, you're not staying here. And she sort of laughed. And we both sort of laughed. You can't move in, you know. And I said, why don't you go back the way you came? But this time when you go back, yeah. She's like, I can't thank you enough. I haven't been out of that house for 30 years. It was really crazy. And I said, well, don't thank me. Just tell your friends. And I said, when you walk home, though, what I want you to do is leave it at intervals. And you'll probably find you won't even need this when you get to the corner of that road. And what she did, she went to the corner of the road. And she, you know, that sort of leg things you do, they flick up the legs. And she was like free of it, really. And she sends me like a postcard every time she travels around the world. And she flies first class. And I've told that story somewhere else. I'm sure I have, but it's true. It's like, apart from COVID, you can go anywhere. Cool.
That's
and I use that story for other people who go, oh, I can't leave my house. Well, I know a woman at the road. She had the same sort of belief. Yeah. Belief, not reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should wrap it up for today, but I really want to thank you for your time. If people want to jump on any of your training courses, how can they do that for a start?
If you just go to my website, DC at dcmindcoach.com, and there's a product page, it's called. They're all on my website now.
And the book, again, I believe it's coming out around the start of March.
I might be a blog. I'll put a blog on my website to, if they go to the blog section, they can get hold of it or get hold of the audio too.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah. Derek, thank you so much for your time today. It's always great to catch up with you. You're such a generous man, whether it be offering to do hypnosis with me or appear in my podcast. I do greatly appreciate you. So thank you.
And if anyone wants a free Russian doll technique, if you're suffering as a therapist, I know it's like sometimes you get that tricky client or whatever, just give me a buzz and I'll do a free 30-minute call. Just mention Lawrence's podcast. I can't say fairer than that.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Derek. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And we will see you next time.
Great. Thank you.